You know, each and every day we get a choice. What a fantastic opportunity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the choice that we have each and every day to serve you. Father, would you give us a freshness in our spirit, Father, that would draw us closer to you through your word. Again, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as we look and talk about and absorb your divine word. Would you grant that to us this morning? Thank you again for these that are here. We choose to follow you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I remember as I was growing up watching some of the Indiana Jones movies. Does everybody in the room know what I'm talking about when I say Indiana Jones? Good. Like three of you. All right. In the movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there is a portion of that movie where Indiana Jones is seeking the Holy Grail. Okay? If you guys can go with me for a second. He was going to the site where the grail was supposed to be. And on his way, he had some peril. He had some near-death experiences. He also had to spell the name of Jehovah in Latin. You didn't know it was such a biblical movie, did you? And he gets to the place where the grail is supposed to be. And there is a guard there. Do you remember? The guardian knight. And what does the guardian knight say? He says, the one that chooses the cup, he's supposed to choose the grail or the cup of that the carpenter from Nazareth used. Again, you didn't know it was such a biblical movie. He's supposed to choose this cup. And the knight, the guardian knight, looks at him and says, you have to choose wisely. I think he says it. Choose wisely. And so he is faced with a choice. Choosing the right cup could lead to life. Choosing the wrong cup leads to death. Now, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen the movie, so I'll let you finish the show to see which he chooses. But we are faced each and every day with such a choice to choose life or death. And you just didn't even know it. You and I just forget about that choice that we have to make. But each and every day it is in front of us. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm glad that we are talking about what it looks like to be a disciple. This is the second week of this fantastic series. And last week we talked about what it looks like to be a disciple. It's going to cost you. It's going to be very costly. The gift of salvation and the gift of God's grace is completely free. But it will cost us something. This week we are going to look at what it looks like to be a disciple through one simple word. The word abide. So turn with me to John chapter 15, if you will. John chapter 15, and when you get there, would you stand for the reading of God's word if you are able? We're going to read verses 1 through 11. John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch that dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Father, thank you for your word again. Be with us now as we look at each part of this text. Would we do such honor and give you such glory and such happiness by how we look at your word. Thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, clearly, behind me you can see all of this fantastic greenery. I will admit, I did the decorating. All right? It's probably pretty obvious. Now let's just say, for instance, that I take one of these wonderful vines. Okay? It's stuck in there. That's okay. Let's just say that I pull one of these off and I give it to one of my children. What have I just given them? Have I given them life or death? Life. It's green. It's full of fantastic water and nourishment from the plant. But I have just given my children death. I have given them a part of death. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into our text in chapter 15, there is not a word, therefore. There is not something that would indicate that we need to go backwards, but we're going to go backwards anyway, because it's just better that way. Chapter 14 of John, we find Jesus on the back half of his ministry life on earth. We find him towards the end of his ministry life, and he is in an exchange with the disciples. I always get so much hope from his exchanges with the disciples because they were with him in the flesh. They were with him daily. They were at his side to watch and to learn and to absorb all that he was. And yet they still didn't get it sometimes. I get so much hope from that because there's so much around us that God is at work and so much that he's doing on his behalf for the sake of the kingdom in our lives, and we just don't see it and we just don't get it. And so here we are in chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's having to explain himself to a group of people that he has been with and done ministry with, and they're not understanding the connection about who he really is. He's listened to those words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Shouldn't they know that by now? Look at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, know him and have seen him. From now on, you know him and have seen him because of me. In verses 8 through 10, Philip, man, he gives me such hope. Philip says to him in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Well, Jesus just said, if you know me, you know the Father. And Philip said, well, just show us the Father. Well, you're looking at him. Think about that for a moment. And he says, that'll be enough for me. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me? He's like, you're looking at him. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is getting a little frustrated by this. I'm sure how he gets frustrated by some of our decisions and our lack of knowledge about who He is and what He's up to in our lives. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Listen to this. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. There's that word again. We just read it. From verse 4 of chapter 15 to verse 11, there are 10 references to the word abide. 10. Abide in me, and I in you. If you abide in me, then this. Here we are in chapter 14, verse 10. It's not my own words and my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me that's doing the work. It's the same word. It's the same root word, I should say. The same root word that we read in chapter 15 to abide is the same that we get in chapter 14, verse 10. Here's one of the differences. It is the divine Son abiding in the divine Father. The divine Son, Jesus Christ, abiding in the divine Father. That's a pretty good combination. Because what it produces is His works. The divine Son abiding in the divine Father produces His good works. You see, to have Jesus operating under the divine influence of the Father created an environment where His works could be done. Even in His earthly body, Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, had a connection to the Father. Now let's go to chapter 15. Because I hope, because we've read chapter 14, chapter 15 will make much more sense. I am the true vine, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I got curious about this word, vine dresser. The word itself means the worker of the soil. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty good statement. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He's the vine dresser. He is the worker of the soil. Now, if I were to take one of these plants, I hope it doesn't leak. If I were to take one of these plants and say, I'm going to be the vine dresser of this plant. I'm going to care for it. I'm going to water it. Now, for me to be the vine dresser would mean I would need to also take care of the surrounding soil. I would need to make sure that its basket is good enough for it to obtain optimal growth. You see where I'm headed with this? As the vine dresser, God, in His divine wisdom, took care of all of the soil around what was going on with His Son. It wasn't just about the production of what was on the end of the vine. It had to do with what was going on in the soil itself and everything around that vine so that it could produce good works. So, in our lives, relationships, circumstances, divine appointments that we have with people. How many of you guys this week had an opportunity to talk about Jesus with somebody that you didn't even understand why they were talking to you? I don't even know why they came up to me. I don't even know why they talked to me at the gas pump, but I had an opportunity to share Jesus. Divine appointments, they still do exist. Be aware of what is going on, because that is the working of the soil in our lives for the sake of His works, for the advancement of the kingdom. Let's keep looking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Because we have the relationship to the vine and the vine dresser, now we are at liberty to talk about fruit. The production of fruit. Look at what it says. Every branch, every shoot, every twig that does not bear fruit, He takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit,
He does what? He prunes. This is such great evidence in our Christian walk. Do you think pruning feels good to the plant? And I'm not going to get into, do plants have feelings? And do you think it's pleasant for somebody to come along and snip off some of this plant? I'm not going to do it because it's beautiful and I don't want to mess it up. It's not pleasant for the plant. Just because you have a relationship to the source does not mean that you will experience that you will not experience some discomfort and some pain and some trial. You know, we get this fairy tale version of Christianity where we're gonna accept Christ as our Savior. We're gonna call Him Lord. We're gonna trust that what He did on the cross satisfies the wrath of the world in my life. And because I make a statement, because I call Him Savior and because I call Him Lord, that everything's going to be peachy. And then whenever trials come, I start to question, why is this so difficult, God? Why is this so hard? I thought because I was one of yours that you would take care of me. Well, He is taking care of you. Praise be to God that we don't get what we all deserve, which is death. Amen. Just because it's difficult, just because it's hard, just because there's some pruning going on in your spiritual life does not mean that you get to fold, does not mean that you get to curl up and die. He is taking care of us in His own way. For His own good works. Because He has a different agenda than what we have. Now He says in verse 3 that they've been set apart by the words that were spoken to them. They're already on mission. These are already a group of people that have come to the saving knowledge of who He is. Although they don't quite understand fully who He is, they know. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. And now verse 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 6 again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. You would look at verses 4 through 6 and say, Brother Adam, I don't know that I can fully understand that without a degree in horticulture. There's talk about this vine, and there's branches, and there's fruit, and there's drying up, and there's fire, and now we're burning stuff. I don't know that I can get it. Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to help. I hope. Look at the beginning of verse 4. Abide in me. This is the source. This is where it all begins. If you were to just take verse 4 and start, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Where does it all start? You cannot just take that out of context. You have to start with verse 4. It says, abide in me. What does that word even mean? I keep saying it over and over because it's in the text 10 times between verse 4 and 11. So when you get tired of hearing it, just go back and say, well, he's reading the Bible. Abiding. It is to come under the influence of the divine, to remain in him. It does not say in verse 4, if you abide in me. This is not a conditional statement. This is just a statement. There are no strings attached to it. It says, abide in me and I in you. It is a reciprocal relationship. I abide in him and he abides in me. Because I remain in him, he remains in me. Because I put myself under the authority of God, under the headship of Christ, I am abiding in him, and he therefore is going to remain in me. It's a big cycle that keeps, I keep giving and he keeps giving it back to me. Well, because of that, it is a permanent and continuous opportunity for us to abide in the Lord. Permanent and continuous. If you put one of these plants in an environment where it will not die, how long will it take it? It will stay alive indefinitely until conditions prove otherwise. Until it gets in a place where it's too hot, until it gets in a place where it's too cold, where it doesn't get enough sunlight. But if you keep it in an optimal environment for growth and development, it will stay alive indefinitely. How many of you guys have plants in your house that you've had for years? Some of you guys just aren't green thumbs, are you? It will stay alive because it is a give. The plant keeps giving and it keeps taking and it keeps giving and it keeps taking, and it will keep on doing that until conditions don't allow it. Because we have this connection, this permanent connection of abiding in him, this constant reciprocal connection of him abiding in us, now we can talk about fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Remember at the beginning, I am the true vine, he said, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now in verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you, we, are the branches. Now wait, Brother Adam, it's getting scary because now there's this responsibility. It was easy to talk about Jesus being the true vine and God being the vine dresser and taking care of all that and taking care of the soil. That was pretty easy. But now, Jesus has come along and said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. He who abides, there's that word again, in me and I in him. Remember, it's a reciprocal relationship. He bears much fruit. It does not say, what does the Bible not say? I love telling people what it doesn't say. It does not say he might bear much fruit. Now let's be careful, because if we are going to call ourselves believers in Christ, if we are going to say that we are going to be abiding in him, there will be a production of fruit. No questions. No get out of jail free. Well, the circumstances weren't right, and so because I was going through a hard time in my life, because it was difficult, because maybe God was doing some pruning, there is no fruit. It doesn't say that, does it? It says if you abide in me and I in him and I in you, because you are now the vine, you are now the branches, there will be fruit, period. Because the opposite of that comes at the end of verse 5. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, if anyone does not remain in me, in verse 6, if anyone does not subject themselves to me and my ways and what I'm doing and the working of the soil in their life, if they do not do that, they are thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. You see, there is something to be said for this illustration. And the reason why I put all of these wonderful plants up here is because each one of them has a relationship. Each leaf that comes off. Each, what do you call these? Leaves. All of these things that come off of these vines have a relationship to one thing. It is the source that they are connected to. Jesus could not have spelled it out any clearer, any more clearly, to the people that he was doing ministry with that did not get it. Remember Philip, chapter 14? He says, show me the Father, and that'll be enough. And Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Come on, Philip. Bet he didn't do that. Maybe he did. And Jesus goes on to say in 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And if I say to you that I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works, it is because of the connection to the Father that Jesus could do what he did. It is because of the connection to Jesus that we are able to do what we do. And in that process, we will bear fruit. Now, verse 7. This is one of those fun verses in Scripture that people have abused for years. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Woo! Well, in that case, what are we going to ask for, church? It says, ask whatever you wish. What are we going to ask for? See, look, you consulted with your neighbor. I know you got something to ask. What are you going to ask for? Whatever you wish. Maybe I wish for a car. Maybe I wish for a house. Yeah. Praise the Lord. A horse. Good. What are you going to ask for? Health. Good. I can ask for anything I wish. Faith. Man, what a good answer. I ask for an increase in faith that can only be given to me by God. Whew. Ask whatever you wish. People have been taking this scripture and just throwing it out there for years. Name it and claim it, right? I name it and I claim it because of this. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It doesn't say I'll hear you and think about it. It doesn't say I'll consider it. I'll see if it's good. See if it's good for your family. It says ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But wait a minute. The beginning of verse 7 we always miss somehow. If. This is a conditional statement. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask. So what's going on here? If you abide in me, if you are willing to come under the subject, the nature and the person, the Godhead through Christ, if you are able and willing to submit yourself to that, if you are willing to abide in me, if you are willing to get connected to the source, if you are willing to get into that soil that is God and Christ and everything that is in them and all that they have, and there's not just one thing that we've got to do, there are two. If you abide in me, if you come under the influence of Christ, and my words abide in you. Now we are talking about two incredibly challenging things for us. It is challenging for me. If you abide in me and my words in you, how do God's words come into us? We cannot do that with our Bibles sitting on the table, on the nightstand, on the exercise equipment, collecting dust. This is difficult even for me. This is difficult. To have a desire to open up God's Word and let it pour into me, and let it speak through the Holy Spirit, the divine words of God. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask. Because here's what happens. If we come under the influence of Christ and under the think about this. If we are to come under the influence of Christ and what he's done on our behalf on the cross, if we are to submit ourselves to that, then we are putting ourselves under the submission of Christ, who is under the submission of God, John chapter 14, 10, who now, because of his submission to God, God is doing good works through Christ, who is now doing works on our behalf. And if we are abiding in him and his word abides in us, then we ask. And what changes about this whole equation is your asking and my asking. Because now I don't want to ask for cars and homes and horses and health and wealth and anything else that comes along with that. The only thing I want to ask for is to be closer to the God that is doing the work in my life. And because now my asking has been changed, because the way that I pray to the God of the universe changes, now look what happens. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this. The Father gets glory because of this. Because now we have come under the submission of God and through the lordship of Christ. And now our asking looks different. Whatever we wish, it says, for the advancement of the kingdom, to draw us closer to that God, to draw us into relationship and fellowship with Christ. Because of that, God gets the glory. And then we're back to fruit production because we have connected ourselves to the source. This one's heavy. We have connected ourselves to the source, and so now we can grow and we can produce fruit and we can look good and we can make a difference. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove. There will be no doubt. So prove what? To be my disciple. Because I am abiding in him and his words are abiding in me and I am bearing fruit and God is getting the glory and I am drawing closer to a relationship with him that I never had before because my asking is different. And my wants and my desires are different. The only thing that matters is his production for the kingdom. Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. He finishes with two things here. He says, abide in my love. The very first week as we started this process, we talked about loving differently. To love with grace. That has been the grace that has been given and shown to us through Christ. To love with compassion and mercy, just like God has shown it to us through the person of Jesus. To forgive differently, to love differently, to encourage more deeply through the love that has been shown to us. Because as we have been given that love, we should be wanting to give it away. That's part of our asking. Has anybody ever asked that question? Father, would you grant me the opportunity to give away the love that you've shown me today? I want to give it away. Abide in my love, he says. And then verse 10, if you keep my commandments, again, we're back to this. If you keep my commandments, my spoken word, my written word, even the thoughts that I have, if you keep those commandments, you will abide in my love. So there's the connection. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, church, to look more like a disciple, we must connect ourselves to the source. Wonder about your fruit production today? Go back to the source. If I poured antifreeze on all of these trees behind me, that would not be good for their systems. Let's stop hijacking our own growth by doing things that are contrary to what God would have for our lives. And that goes for me as it does for all of us in this room today.
connect to the source so that we can abide in Him. You see, here's the thing as we finish this morning.
It is about God's preferences for our lives and not our own. The only responsibility that any one of these plants has in their production, the only responsibility that this plant has is to stay connected, as I broke it, is to stay connected to the vine. Because if we are not connected to the vine, it is the beginning of the death for us. Eventually, that leaf that I gave to my daughter will die. This will soon die because it is no longer connected to the source. Church, if we want to look more like disciples, if we want to be disciples, we've got to stay connected to the source. And how do we do that? It's through abiding in Him and abiding in His words. And then He will reciprocate and give it all back to us. So let's get busy, church. Let's stay connected this week. Let's pray together as Logan comes. Father, thank You for an opportunity to look at Your Word. Father, to let it speak to us. Father, I do pray that as we begin the process of abiding in You, remaining in You, to come under the authority of You,